Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from Tobacco on Main Street, the Burn Line Lounge, the smoky backroom where deals are struck and fortunes are made adjacent to Tobacco on Main Street. Last week we did the Bandolero Premium, right? So before that we did the aged Brothers of the Leaf Lancero, which, you know, we only got because we're here at Tobacco on Main Street. You know, you're not going to find a 2018 Lancero many places, right? And, of course, it was better.
Yeah, way better.
Way better. So, today we are taking a sharp right turn, and we are smoking a cigar that is new, but available a lot of different places. This is, we mentioned it on Cigar News of the Week, coming out, Artesana del Tabaco, which is famous for the one with the Joker on it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That really strong one. What is that called? Fuck.
I do not remember.
You know, the...
I know, we do so many of
Viva
these.
La Vida. Viva La Vida. Viva La Vida. Yeah. So, Artesano del Tabaco is famous for that. And, by the way, it's a couple of guys in New York with a shop. We might get into the story later. But they released this El Pulpo, which is Spanish for octopus, and it is 8 cigars in one. Just kidding. I don't know why it's called El Pulpo. We're going to get into that with you guys. But it is blended by A.J. Fernandez. So we've got an interesting stick here. It's new, and people were looking forward to this, because that Viva La Vida, I mean, I've smoked a lot of them. I've got to be in the mood. It is a strong cigar, but it's good. They have kind of a cult following.
Yeah.
And then, boom, AJ in the mix. And it's like, okay, you know, his fingers are in everything, especially everything good.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's got the little San Andres band underneath. Hey, Mexican San Andres Negro wrapper.
Right.
This looks like it's going to be good. Will it be as strong as the Viva Libby? I don't know. We're going to find out.
I can't tell you.
And we're going to talk about why it's called El Pulpo.
Yep.
Etc., etc. So that is the cigar we're smoking. We, you know, we always sort of admire the cigar before we light it up.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm cutting in the close-up footage for all of you guys out there. But I love it.
That's cool.
The branding and the band, it is like borderline steampunk. The color red really, really complements the San Andres wrapper. So it's black and gold and like maroon crimson.
Yeah, I was going to say burgundy. Or is, no, that's too...
Yeah, it's not that. But I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
It's top notch. I mean, if you're an artist, you're going to appreciate this. This is well done.
Matte finish and just rustic looking shit.
Yeah, the wrapper. This is like... So for some reason, I'm getting real like Captain Nemo vibes.
Okay.
Like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with this. Maybe it's the octopus. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's fucking sharp. So let's go ahead and get this cut and lit so we can start smoking. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the actual cigar.
Yeah. We need one of those, like, QVC tables.
You know, yes.
Where it's spinning and we're...
Yeah. The official cutting brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do. And as always, we remind you to cut that cigar with authority, no limp-wristed cutting allowed.
Maybe.
I'm your Fuckleberry. And of course, we always recommend a hand job after clipping it. Yeah, a little. I'm gonna tap. Just glue that back down. I did that. It's not them.
User.
Not their fault. User. Okay, good. Yeah, that just gets all the little schmuckus out so that it doesn't burn your tip of your tongue and mess up your experience. Okay, let's get it lit. The official lighting brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. I'm lighting up with my ST DuPont double flame, flat flame, butane torch. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. And you're lighting up with...
the Vertigo Vortex. The one and only, the goat of cigar lighters.
The goat, Vertigo Vortex. Okay. All right. We have got those lit.
I did a little bit better this time around. Interesting. I did fire in the barrel.
Yes. I appreciate you trying. It's like my 10-year-old son trying to wrestle me. I appreciate him trying.
He won, though, right?
He wins from time to time. Okay, so right off the bat, we'll do a little bit of flavor testing, and then we'll actually dig into the cigar a little bit more. But it's definitely not as strong as the Viva La Vida so far.
It's hella spicy, though. Do a retro. Slow one, not a fast one.
I wouldn't say that. I would put the spicy in medium. It is spicy. Floral. A little cedar with, I'm going to call it like, almost like Indian food spices.
Mm. Spicy masala?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. Not curry. Definitely not buttery.
Tiki masala a little bit, yeah. So the spice on it is interesting because it's not pepper. It's not, you know how cayenne has that bitter? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that. The spice here is like the sweet spicy that you get in a lot of Indian food.
Okay.
And yes, it's, especially if you retro, it tastes like a Nicaraguan. It's spicy like a Nicaraguan, which it is.
A little too much retro on that one. A little bit of, like a hint of anise there in the back.
Yeah. Yes, agree. That's interesting. Okay, I like the flavor. And we are now imbibing. So, while we smolder, let's slow down and talk about this cigar a little bit. So, first of all, this is the Bellicoso Grande, which is a 5 3/4 by 58, and shout out to Artesano del Tabaco for including a retailer friendly barcode on it. We definitely support that, and it makes sense because of who Artesano del Tabaco is. Love the shape. It is a soft box press Bellicoso. So 58, this is more your wheelhouse ring gauge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for me, it's like I get up to a 52 and I'm like, oh my God, why do I have this giant thing in my mouth?
And it's a hard box press as well on top of that.
I don't know what that means.
Like a more squarish?
No, it's soft.
Mine's is, I was going to say, feel mine. Mine's is pretty hard.
Yours is fucking square.
I know, that's what I was saying. Oh, wow. Okay, I just now noticed
Mine looks like a Padron box press. I mean, a Perdomo box press.
Yeah, it does.
It's like soft. Yours looks like a Padron. Mine looks like a Perdomo.
Okay, so there is a difference there. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, quality control. Chalk it up. Probably its position in the box.
Yeah, so I guess we got lucky that I got the harder one.
I don't know. Mine's pretty hard most of the time. Mine's definitely longer. Yeah, mine's longer.
I don't know about that.
It's got more girth, too. Look. Mine's longer and has more girth.
All right, let's
bust yours out is a little darker.
Let's bust out the measuring tape.
All right, so we are smoking the El Pulpo by Artesano del Tabaco and famously blended by AJ Fernandez, San Andres rapper, and a lot of folks have been looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. We announced it in the Cigar News of the Week, and we got
I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, we got a little bit of feedback like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And I was a little scared because I'm not a strong cigar guy. I love the Viva La Vida, but, you know, I smoke it when I want to get high.
Yeah.
You know? that is not a smoke on the way to work cigar, you know. And now we're getting to enjoy it. So here at Tobacco on Main Street, this retails for $9.99. That is a lot of tobacco for under $10. And 5 3/4 by 58 is pretty close to a Toro.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, fatter and a little shorter.
Yeah.
And right now, $14 is market average.
Which is fucking great for what this is.
Yeah, so...
Well, to be determined, but...
Yeah. So, price looks great. Now, we have to compare it to how this cigar smokes. If it's crap, mm-hmm. that's not a great price. But, right out of the box, that's very competitive.
Yes, I was going to say, I'm picking that up.
And I appreciate the positioning, too, because... As somebody who, you know, smokes a lot of cigars, I'm looking for, you know, delicious, enjoyable treat that I can also afford
mm-hmm.
to smoke regularly, right? And people forget that you have folks that have been around a while, like, you know, the Fuentes of the world that produce cigars they've perfected for decades, like the Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
That they're selling for $9, you know, $8.50 for the small Vitolas, stuff like that. So you have to be able to compete with that. People forget, not every Padron is a 1926 anniversary, right?
To some people it is.
But they have the 3000 series.
That's correct.
Right? Not every...
4000, 9000, yeah.
Not every Fuente is an Opus X. Not every Plasencia is an Alma Fuerte.
Yeah.
Right? All of these guys have sticks in, like, you know, $11, $10, or less for smaller Vitolas. And so you're also competing with that, right? Although, it's up for debate whether a Padron 3000 is really a Padron or not.
It's got the name, so why not?
Well, the... folks that I know that are really diehard Padron smokers, they actually love the small Vitolas. That's one of the things they like. And the 3000 is more like the classic Jose Padron tubo, you know, the big ring gauge,
mm-hmm.
bigger ring gauge. Of course, it's not as strong. It's much more approachable.
They more like the Principe size?
Yeah. I know a lot of folks that love that.
Yeah.
That's what they're the fan of, right? For me, the Padron 3000 is one of my favorite Padron sticks.
Honestly, I've never smoked the 1000 series. I've smoked the Principe and the 1926.
Well, the Principe is a Vitola
mm-hmm.
of the 1926, or...
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's all I smoke, is those two.
I'm saying the Principe is not a cigar. Sorry, it's not a... It's just a Vitola. It's the size.
Yeah, I forget what the other one is.
So you smoke what? The classic Jose Padron? Mm-hmm. Like in the tube? Like the red or the white tube?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's the number 90.
Yeah, that guy.
The Jose, yes, the Jose Padron number 90. I like the, believe it or not, I like the natural.
Yeah, and honestly, it's out of my price range too.
How about the Demasiado?
That is such an interesting like stick because, you know, mostly they're not together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the heck is that all? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that story, so. But is it Damaso, right?
I got a story for Damaso.
Yeah.
So, We are not smoking a Padrón. We are smoking the Artesano del Tabaco El Pulpo Esteli San Andres. And this is the Bellicoso Grande, 5 3/4 by 58. I will say, though, it doesn't feel in my mouth like such a big ring gauge because it's a Bellicoso.
Yeah.
And so the part that's in my mouth is, you know, a little smaller. It is a box press. And we did note, like...
Yeah,
I just called this a... I have a soft box press. You have a fucking hard...
That's what I was like. I have a hard...
fucking...
You're like, what? Yeah. So I wonder what you would feel like if you were smoking this, though. I bet you that would change your tone. A little bit.
I don't know. And I'll tell you why I don't know. I do not notice a difference in smoking a box press versus a round cigar.
Mm-hmm. I just figured because of your lip problem.
But the part that's going into our mouth, I think, is the same. Because it's a Bellicoso end that we clipped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
I have noticed that some box presses tend to have a firmer draw.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like.
Yes.
That's just me. So, other than that, it's more about form factor. And this does retail here at Tobacco on Main Street for $9.99. So that's very approachable for a lot of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, this is definitely living up to the Artesano del Tabaco name. It is robust.
Dude, this is good. Like, so far.
Yeah, so...
I'm starting to get a little change out of it. I don't know if you have.
Yes, it is changing a little bit. But strength, where are you at?
I'm going to say 5.
I was going to say 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not super strong.
Mm-hmm.
Spice is up there, though, and that can be confusing with strength.
Yeah.
And flavor. Lots of flavors starting out.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Feels like it's going to change, so we'll see.
This is one of those cigars, and the Viva La Vida is as well, one of those complex cigars where if you just ask somebody, this is a fucking full-bodied cigar. It's just full-bodied, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can fucking chew on the smoke. But then when you break it down into strength, it's not super strong. And then we'll see about how the flavors work together, if they change, if it's a flavor change or whatever. And strength and flavor typically comprise body. When people talk about body, they're really talking about those two things, right? And so we've always distinguished between strength and body,
mm-hmm.
because there are cigars that have really robust body, but they're not that strong. And there's a few cigars that are very strong, but they don't have a lot of body.
Right.
You know, it's like one note.
Like a Padrón.
Yes, a lot of Padrons are not really full-bodied, but they're very strong.
Mm-hmm. A Digger.
Digger, yeah, that's a good one.
Bull's kind of like that, too.
Yeah.
Starting to get a little bit of raisin now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, there's some raisin in there, and I'm only, less than an inch in. You're, like, right in an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Ash is interesting. So, my binder ash is bright white, yep. which is interesting.
It's good.
I don't see any greens or yellows.
Yeah. So, a little bit, the ash can't really tell you much, but it can tell you some. So, when it's bright white like that, it just means a lot of the imperfections, a lot of that ammonia, a lot of impurities have been aged out really, really well. And if you notice on your ash how it's full of those little balls everywhere,
mm-hmm.
those are like little nitrogen balls.
Mm-hmm. Which, this is one of the reasons why relighting your cigar can taste terrible.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons, not all of them. A lot of the nitrogen pockets emerge from combustion.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the gases turn into these little balloons you can pop. When you relight it, you pop them. And you can actually watch it happen. So if you ever want to put a cigar out and then ruin it on a relight,
yeah.
take your torch, hold it, you know, an inch away, real close, so you're roasting it, and light it, and then just hold the flame there, and you'll see the nitrogen balls, like, combust in these little...
Yeah. Real quick, want to know something cool? So this cigar, it's really loud. Stay quiet, you can hear me draw it.
Yeah, you can hear the crackling. That's interesting.
That's all that nitrogen popping. So hopefully that mic picked it up. I'm sure it did, but
I don't know. I've got some pretty aggressive filters on there.
Yeah.
To, you know, because of air filtration and stuff. All right, so this cigar, it actually began in 2016, and Fernandez spent years perfecting the blend, but, you know, it doesn't say whether that's he was working night and day on the one cigar. I'm sure he wasn't, but it did take him a while. It has a Mexican San Andres wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, and Nicaraguan filler, and it is made in Nicaragua. So it's not a puro because it has a Mexican wrapper. But having the binder and filler, Nicaraguan, you know, it really smokes like that. You know, I associate Nicaragua with strong cigars, right? So I think this pretty much smokes like that. And we are not very far in, but we're getting some interesting flavors. Has your pepper change? My pepper has changed a little bit.
It's tampered down
and it is switched to crushed red pepper. Mm-hmm. Right, so if you've ever here's what this tastes like to me, because there's a little bit of an oily component with this. This tastes like if you took olive oil and heated it up in a pan and put crushed red pepper in there.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own unique flavor. And then if you threw like some raisins in there and fried them up, the aroma of raisins frying in olive oil with crushed red pepper, that's kind of the flavor that I'm getting off the cigar.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Socials and surprises. There's a couple of folks following us on social media, and I'm supposed to thank you for joining us, and I'm not going to spend the time to bring that up because I'm lazy, and instead, I'll just say thank you to everybody that has joined us on social media. You are our marketing plan. Please like, share, subscribe. Anything you can do to juice the algorithm for us, we have a hell of a time trying to promote this hobby. Mm-hmm. Because big tech has it out for people that enjoy combustible tobacco products as a hobby. But everything that you're doing is helping us out a lot. Be sure to check the link tree at the bottom of this episode. You can click contact us or just email us, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Anybody can remember that. Drop us a line. Let us know what you like, don't like, would like to see on the show, what you want us to smoke. We want this to be your show. This is a consumer podcast where we help you enjoy the hobby of smoking cigars. And of course, if you have input to make it better, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and drop us a line. Leave us a 5-star review. And if you think that we add value to the cigar community, just help us out that way. If you don't, drop us a line anyway and tell us we suck.
Yeah.
And we'll read it on air. If you don't want us to read your email on air, let us know, preferably in the first line of the email, so I don't get to the end of it and have to edit it all out. We appreciate that. And I have a surprise for everybody. This is not a cigar. This is a straight razor. You can see right there, 51, the Victor. This is an elephant tusk ivory handled straight razor. This was manufactured in France sometime in the 19-teens. I believe they were manufacturing these between 1915 and 1920 or 21. I was able to pick this up at an auction, and I like stuff like this.
Ooh, you criminal.
Yes, you can absolutely use it to cut your cigar if you want, or pretty much anything else, because this, what they call black steel, is incredibly sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Although it doesn't hold a blade as long. You got to sharpen it frequently.
Yeah.
But you can get it super, you can get it razor sharp.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is one of those cool things that people that appreciate cigars probably appreciate this too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
the elephant didn't appreciate it.
The elephant, yeah. That profile on the blade is called hollow ground. Do you know why razors are hollow ground?
No.
It's so that you can sharpen it.
Okay.
So they've removed the metal right here.
Uh-huh.
So that when you sharpen it, you're sharpening the actual blade. You're not scraping the side of the thing. the more you know. All right, good. So, wow, you're smoking, not talking. I need to catch up with you. Why don't we go to break so I can catch up with you, and when we come back, we'll do our tobacconist tip of the week.
We'll do.
You're listening to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas and El Fumo on Burnline Podcast. Keep that dial locked in.
Tip of the week. So, kind of a tip. Most like a fun experiment. So we talked about this before. So something fun you can do at home. You can do with most any cigar, but the cigars I recommend is those unbanded like house.
Pack of 50.
Yeah.
$1.99 a stick. Online special.
Maybe not those because those can be kind of lame too. But you can take like a decent house blend cigar. Put in like a tupper, and then take a shot of your favorite alcohol. Like for me, it would be like maybe a Bacardi rum, or Maker's as well. I've done both. Take a shot of that whiskey or whatever. Put it in the tupper with the cigars. Seal the tupper, and then seal the tupper with like plastic, and let it sit there for a while with just that. And then maybe let it sit for a month. And after a month, you'll start getting some flavor from that infusion. It's just air infused.
So home air infused cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a... So, let me ask you a question. I have hundreds of cigars in my humidor where I saw a bundle deal on somebody's website. Here's a bunch of super cheap sticks. And I always fall for it. And I'm like, well, you know, this is just a daily.
Yeah.
And then I'll smoke one. I'm like, nope, I'm spending $17 on a, you know, Hemingway classic Oscuro because I can and I like them.
Yeah.
And so I never smoke them. Good candidate for home infusing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to be careful of those $1.99 ones because, look, there's still some green on there and
some leaves
well.
Yeah. Quorum. That's a...
Quorum Connecticut's.
Yeah. No, it's not a quorum.
No, I'm saying that's the best thing to...
Cause infuse?
Yeah, it's the best thing to try because... It is at least smokable. Yeah. It didn't cost you a lot. And because it has so little natural flavor on its own, you have the best shot at seeing, oh, this is what I'm doing working.
So, okay. Tom doesn't have a microphone over there, but what he was saying was the Quorum Connecticut, which is smokable. It's not a trash cigar, but it is super affordable and it's not very flavorful because it's a Connecticut.
And it's the approved... Here we go. You ready for this inside joke? And it's the approved cigar for a drunken bookie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's an inside story, guys, that we're not going to get into. let's just say manage your lounge.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. All right, so Billy and Gus Faki.
Mm-hmm.
They managed a lounge. They were in New York, I believe. They founded Artesano del Tabaco. And I think their breakthrough was the Viva La Vida. That one was very well received in the community as a strong, flavorful, and, you know, like, boutique-y cigar.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Right? Very well made. I've smoked quite a few of those. Like I said, I have to be in the mood. And I think that they've really kind of done it the right way where they're not pretending to be or know more than they do. They know what consumers like because they ran a successful store for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they like, but then they're partnering with producers mm-hmm. that know what they're doing. And that's how they're able to produce, boutique cigars that, you know, are pretty attractive, right? And niche. They found a little niche. And so, you know, they're not as big. They haven't got as far along as Crowned Heads, for example.
Right.
But Crowned Heads is another example of a company where they put the effort into finding the right partner to make them a banger of a stick, and they sell every one that they make because they're good cigars. Mm-hmm. Right? And they actually brag about their partnerships. And, you know, there are some boutique cigars where they're like, oh, yeah, this is my cigar. Mm-hmm. And they won't tell you that, like, Perdomo made it for them, right? Or Plasencia, right? Plasencia makes a lot of cigars for people, right? Because they want it to be them, you know, my glory, my fame. Artesano del Tabaco has kind of gone the other way, where they're like, no. This is not made by us. This is made by this guy. And, mm-hmm. you know, hey, AJ blended this.
Yeah.
Spent years blending it. And it seems to have worked, because they're selling their sticks. And, of course, you know, offering them at an approachable price point, that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? All right, so pretty good stick. Now, mine's changing, and so I think we need to touch back on the cigar. And for those of us just joining, we are smoking the Artesano del Tabaco El Pulpo San Andres. This is the Bellicoso Grande 5 3/4 by 58, blended by A.J. Fernandez, and retailing for $9.99 here at Tobacco on Main Street, which is on Main Street.
On Main Street, if you didn't guess already.
Historic downtown Westminster. Beautiful, beautiful place. And we're actually smoking in the lounge. So we have this, you know, this is not like podcast studio setup. This is what you see here. Yeah. This is what you can enjoy if you come in here to hang out.
Yeah.
One of the three sections of the lounge.
Yes, this is one section. This is the yellow room.
The yellow room.
Like the White House.
Yeah.
Did you see that Shondaland production, The Residence? Mm-hmm. It's like a whodunit mystery in the White House.
No, I have not.
It's fucking hilarious. It's got, I forget the actress, but...
Did they figure out who brought in the cocaine?
No, they all knew that. That wasn't the mystery. No, it's like the head butler gets murdered. Or commits suicide, nobody knows.
Oh, so they play Clue in real life.
Yes, well, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's literally...
Who killed the butler?
There's even, like, a scene where somebody's, like, running through a hidden staircase with a candlestick. Like, it's completely... Yes, it's a Clue ripoff. But it's pretty funny. But our cigar has changed, so why don't you tell me a little bit about the all flavor right. in this middle third?
So it's definitely changed mostly to that peppery, like a... crushed red pepper, but not like a spicy crushed red pepper, kind of like on the sweeter side of that.
Yeah.
Very, very slight hint of cedar there at the end of it, mm-hmm. at the tail end of it. That's the two notes that I'm getting right now, so I'm only getting two at the moment. So, but it's still pretty good.
Here's what's really interesting. When I first start to take a draw and it's still cold, mm-hmm. especially if you let a little air in around the corners, there's just a quick cocoa mm-hmm. taste.
All right, so you were getting it too. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to sound dumb about that.
And yeah, oh, you're getting it too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, you're right about that. It is a cool draw.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that raisin and anise went completely away.
It did, yeah. It did. It's definitely wood forward.
Mm-hmm.
The spicy flavor kind of reminds me of what's that Chinese dish where they fry up the red peppers in like a sweet sauce on the chicken? Is that General Szechuan?
It's either General So's chicken or sweet and sour.
Not sweet and sour, but
so definitely General
there's
So's.
There's like a sticky dark red.
Yeah. Oh no, the other one.
Yeah, the other one.
Oh shit, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it.
I think it's Szechuan. I can't remember. But you know, so the peppers are spicy, but if you just taste the goop that they're in, it's like sweet but infused with that pepper.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more similar to that. Whereas if you just bit one of those fucking dried chiles they put in that
dish,
they're so fucking hot. It's not that. But it's like the sauce. Where it's sweet but infused with mm-hmm. that pepper. So, surprised with the sweetness on this. It's not sugary sweetness, but...
No, but like a sweet flavor.
Yeah.
And not Ecuadorian sweet either.
Mm-mm. Very good. This is a good cigar. They really... I think they blended the flavors well.
A hint of coffee. Small hint of coffee.
Yes, I agree.
Dude, I want to say this is a complex stick now. I'm still at a 5, though, for strength. Maybe even a 4 now.
I'm at a 6.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm at a 6. I mean, I retrohale every puff, though, so it might... You know, it's definitely not... It's not, like, nicotine kicking me in the back of the head, but it is definitely, like, singeing the nose hairs.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure where I would peg that. And that's, again, like, the difference between... robust and strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've smoked Cuban cigars that made me dizzy.
Oh, yeah.
But I could just chuff them. That's probably why they made me dizzy. Like, you could literally inhale some of the smoke.
Especially Nicaraguan, man. They'll kick your ass.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, so let's jump into our topic of the day real quick. And that is, what is the worst cigar you've ever smoked? So one of the things that we do on this show... We smoke cigars, we give you our honest opinion so that you can go out and be a consumer and be successful and enjoy your hobby better. And so that's why we rank our cigars differently. That's why we talk about body differently. That's why we, you know, are kind of all over the map on what we smoke. Did we find this interesting or is it highly accessible? And we're very honest. We don't shit on anybody's cigar. Because that's rude, and it's somebody's passion project, but we're also going to be honest. And we've smoked some really expensive, fine cigars, and we're like, no, you know.
We might have the same one if we were talking
not,
about
not hitting it. I don't know, but, and this isn't the worst we've smoked on the show or anything, you know, stupid like that. This is just, you know, I smoked a cigar, and oh my God, I wanted to blow my brains out. It happens, right? Mm-hmm. I mean... they can't all be winners, right?
Probably going to lose some fans.
Well, you know, I've talked to people and they're like, this one Padron, I love them and I smoke them every day, but I smoked one and it was so disappointing. That's my worst cigar ever. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about a cigar that is always bad. Now, I got a bad one in a batch of good cigars,
yeah.
Right? So, and I think, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and take, like, cheap shit off the table. You know, you get online and you order, you know, an unbanded pack of 50 for $1 a stick, and you're like, oh, this just tastes like fucking unfermented tobacco. Well, that's because it is.
Yeah, it's
that's
throwaway. What you paid for. Not like the actual throwaways, but it's a throwaway.
Yeah. So I'm going to scratch that. But so I know which stick of mine was just the worst cigar I've ever smoked. And I'm not shitting on anybody, but we're going to say it on the show. So, do you have your stick?
Can I guess what yours starts with?
No. Nope.
Okay. Yes, I don't remember which
one.
Okay,
don't say anything. I just want to make sure you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on live. All right, we are live. Say hi, El Fumo.
Hola.
And we are at Tobacco on Main Street. On Main Street in historic downtown Westminster, Maryland, USA. And we are live on Insta. And question of the day. What is the worst cigar you've ever smoked? So, El Fumo, it's your chance to lose followers first. What's the worst stick you ever smoked?
I get a lot of hate. Ready? Romeo and Julieta, 1875.
What?
Yeah, see, look, shit.
Okay, so
look, it already got shot. Jesus Christ!
And that's one of the best Romeos. I mean, there's so many that they make that suck, and you pick that.
Yep.
Okay.
Already got shot.
So tell me about it. Why did it suck?
Okay,
why was
so
it the worst ever?
It was just so acrid to me. It was just very like tingy. It was a Connecticut. This was back in the day when I was smoking Connecticuts, and it just smelled awful. I was like, I think I barely got halfway. I was like, nope, putting it out.
So you're smoking it wrong?
No. No, and the tobacconist back in the day, his name was Rob. Shout out to Rob, wherever you are. He was like, don't even, like, tamp it out. Just leave it in the bowl because it'll just stink up the whole lounge. And he was right. I just put it down. I was like, yep, fuck this, and got another sip.
Huh. Okay, well, yeah. So there you go, folks. I guess he hasn't smoked many bad cigars. So for me, Lars Teton. I cannot begin to describe. I wanted to commit suicide. So I got this cigar by accident. I got a mystery bag, and I know why it was in the mystery bag, because they couldn't get rid of them any other way. And so I lit it up, and...
is that the one you and Nick talked about?
I don't know if like, it was...
That would just suck and shouldn't make cigars or something?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and then to make it worse, the band was basically an offense to anybody with even a small touch of artistic sensibility. And, you know, it's really interesting because... You know, Lars brands himself as some artist guy, and...
the world champion.
The world champion of art, and I'm sorry, but Lars, you fucking bit a big dick here. That was a terrible cigar. It was terrible tobacco. It wasn't aged properly. The infusion was hot death, and the artwork was not artwork. So, there you go. That's my critical assessment of the worst cigar that I've ever smoked. And again, for everybody out there, we're not saying this to shit on anybody, but we are a consumer podcast, and you know, we want to share our experience. Your mileage may vary.
Should we do our number two?
Should we do our number two? It's an acid.
No, I was gonna
weird. So tonight we are smoking the Artesano del Tabaco El Pulpo. This is the Bellicoso Grande box press. It has a Mexican San Andres wrapper, Nicaraguan binder and filler, and it is not as strong as the Viva La Vida, but it is robust, flavorful, and retailing for $9.99 here at Tobacco on Main Street. It's a value.
And thank you for joining us on the last episode of Burn Length Podcast, by the way.
About to get canceled. On a positive note, General Cigar does not know you exist or care, and you can shit on Romeo and Juliet that all you
I'm
want.
Okay with that. Good.
Well, I mean, okay, so I will say that some of those fake Cuban brands are the worst. You know, there's very few Romeos that I think are worth smoking, especially at the price point. Monte Cristo, same thing, overpriced. There's a couple of good ones. There's also, you know, there's some quality control issues. And I've had the Platinum, for example. I've had good ones and bad ones. But this is a pretty good cigar. So, if you are unfamiliar, Artesano del Tabaco, Billy and Gus Faqui started this company after a pretty successful stint running a cigar shop and lounge. And that's an up close. I don't know if I can get it to focus, but man, we love the...
this is a great collab, man.
We love the artwork. It's beautiful. We took the first band off because we don't want to get it heated up, but it's the one that says San Andres and Artesano del Tabaco on it, so it's double banded. And this is, of course, a collaboration with Fernandez.
By the way, I could almost, if this was done like 10 years ago, I could almost confuse this for a Nat Sherman.
Oh, yeah, it does have Nat Sherman vibes, doesn't it?
Because they're both from New York, so like, it kind of makes sense. I was like, you know what this reminds me of? A Nat Sherman.
There's
those
the
familiar with the Nat Sherman brand.
Yeah, there's the other band. So it's a double-banded cigar.
Yeah, it's a little Art Deco and then the steampunk.
Yeah, it's octopus. Got a steampunk vibe. With an octopus with a top hat and a monocle?
I think it's a monocle.
I think it's wearing a monocle.
Or glasses.
Definitely.
It could be wearing glasses.
Yeah, definitely steampunk vibe.
It's cool as shit, though.
You can see the good mouthful of smoke. Jake Harrell 27 says, Lars Teton, 20% owned by Johnny Midas. Yes. No, unfortunately. I don't own a percentage of any cigar manufacturer yet, but you'll know because I'll start taking over the world.
He owns a pretty good percentage of tobacco, of cigars, though.
Yes, I do have an extensive collection. All right, so...
no Romeo and Julieta, hate.
No hate on that.
So they must agree.
Yeah, I guess everybody agrees with you. So we're here at Tobacco on Main Street in Westminster, Maryland, being studs and smoking cigars. Of course, you can catch the full episode on Sundays. We hope to catch you on YouTube or Spotify. That's where the video is. Or, of course, audio, wherever you stream your podcast audio. But for now, we're signing off of live. Love you guys. Stay smoky, my friends. All right, so there you have it, folks. Now you know where we truly stand. So
I'm just upset I got shot and you didn't.
I think it is time. Well, you kicked a decent cigar. Just shit on. I agree with you. You know, you had it coming. Yes. Whereas I picked what is actually, literally, and objectively the worst cigar ever produced. All right, so let's go to break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and wrap up, rank the cigar, mm-hmm. take her home. Don't go away. We're back on Burnline Podcast, and it is time to rank the cigar, which I feel guilty doing because I'm only halfway through. Yeah. You're definitely in your final third.
Yeah.
You'll probably smoke another, what, 3/4 of an inch?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, some final tasting notes. The first thing that I'll say is it is a cool smoke, and it feels cool in the mouth, which is interesting. A nice big mouthful of smoke. If you appreciate the feel of smoke in your mouth, this is a great cigar. And it does kind of coat the palate. There is a cool wood flavor in there, and then there is a fermented plant flavor, which is, you know, a little bit of a cop-out since we're smoking a fermented plant, but it has that little bit of, like, raisiny, cold draw sort of flavor to it. And the pepper has dropped off.
Yeah, it really has.
It's really gone down. You know, it's still there, and part of me wonders if my tongue and palate haven't just been conditioned by it for so long during the smoke that I don't taste it as much. But there you go. So tell me about your flavors and experience. So
actually, this is finishing off as like a coffee flavor to me, mm-hmm. like a really strong coffee. No. I shouldn't say strong coffee, but, like, very coffee-esque.
Significant. Mm-hmm. Significant coffee flavor. I'm getting some of that already. And there's still, if you have to pay attention and do the draw right, but there's definitely a really sharp, immediate cocoa flavor, that, but then it's immediately swallowed up by the cedar coming after it.
Yeah, this is a really cool cigar.
All right, and we are smoking the El Pulpo, the octopus. By the way, I can't find anything online about why they named it that. So, is what it is. We'll just be ignorant on that, but it's cool, cool branding. And this is by Artesano del Tabaco, and blended by A.J. Fernandez. We're smoking the Bellicoso Grande, 5 3/4 by 58, retailing for $9.99 here at Tobacco on Main Street. And why don't we go ahead and rank this bad boy. And we'll start with presentation. I will tell you that, you know, a Mexican San Andres Negro wrapper is always attractive mm-hmm. if you like rustic. And they really took advantage of this by wrapping it in this sort of steampunk motif.
Mm-hmm.
The octopus with the hat, monocle, the gold, but it's not like shiny gold. It's like matte gold, black, crimson. I think they knocked it out of the park with the branding and presentation. The cello is one of those crystal cellos that we've seen before.
Yeah.
Super clear. It does reflect the light. It takes a little bit away, you know, from the wrapper, but not a ton. And as much as I hate cello for presentation, I prefer to buy cigars that were in cello because, one, I'm much more confident about a lack of tobacco beetles, and two, nobody's fucking stuck their nose up against my cigar. What's going on? So I've got like a 7 for presentation.
Let's say 8. It just looks cool as shit.
All right. Well, so we'll go with 8 on this, and then I'll get the next point. All right. So for construction, I did have a little issue right there with the end of the wraparound, and I know that finishing off a Bellicoso is a challenge, but it did come apart and flake off here.
Yeah.
A little bit. I can take a point for that. The draw was pretty good. I had a few issues like that where it's like almost about to turn into a tunnel and then doesn't. I think some of that is related to how I'm smoking the cigar, which is a lot of fucking talking. I think you had a slightly better smoking experience. Good mouthful of smoke, good draw, stayed lit. We didn't have to worry about the burn line. It burned it down properly. I've got a 9.
Yeah, 9, and also the difference in our box press, too.
Yes, there was a little quality control there. Definitely noticeably
different. Nothing negative, but it's just different.
Yeah, mine was bigger, more girth, longer, you know. What?
Mine was boxier.
Yours was short and stubby. So that brings us to price at $9.99. I think that's a really good price for this much tobacco.
Dude, for this stick, I want to give it a 10.
I can't give it a 10.
For $9.99. Fine, we'll give it $9.99.
I'm gonna take my point back there and give it a 9.
Okay.
But it is a great price point for this cigar. All right, and so then for flavor, so definitely a complex cigar. Love the flavor. I don't think a newbie should start on this. It's a little strong and spicy for that.
Knock your ass.
But for people that enjoy robust cigars, if you like light floral aromatic sweet, which I prefer, you may still love this, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be like your daily. If you like strong cigars, this isn't quite there yet. You know, it's not that strong, but it's really robust, and the spice helps. I just think it really is going to appeal to a wide variety of palates for people that smoke cigars regularly.
Yeah.
I think the flavor is pretty good. What are you thinking?
I agree. I want to give it a 9.
I thought the last third was very Padron-esque.
Yeah, what you were feeling?
Yeah, because, like, see, all the pepper went out of it, and it just got into this rich Nicaraguan kind of a beefy flavor that wasn't terribly strong, but it still felt solid. Yeah. You know?
All right, I can go 9 on that. We can do that. That brings us to experience. Here's where I don't think it does so good. So, experience in a lounge smoking with another guy that appreciates cigars, I think it's pretty good. It's not fussy, stays lit, flavor's good. I think that's your best case scenario. However, it is too expensive for dog walking, doing chores. It's too strong to, like, mow the lawn with. And I wouldn't want to waste. Not going fishing. I don't want to drop it in the water by accident. You got $10.
This is definitely a sit-down cigar.
It's definitely a sit-down. I'm probably wouldn't even, like, watch the football game with it because it's a little too...
I want to pay attention to it.
I want to pay attention to it, and it's a little too robust if I'm doing calisthenics to be chopping. There's a lot of smoke output.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but it's not nice enough for it to be, like, a gift. It could be a, hey, try this cigar. That's not really a gift, right, you know, with your smoking buddy. So I think the use case, you know, is limited on it. I think this is a cigar smoker cigar to enjoy a cigar, which is great. It's a great place to be. It's just limited. So I'm kind of in the 6 range for experience. What are you thinking? All
right, we'll give it a 6.
Six. Which brings the final score to 41. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very high marks for construction and price and presentation. They really did knock it out of the park. You know, one of the reasons that we stress presentation is this is a consumer podcast, and the artwork in cigars is famous, and it's part of the experience. It makes it better. You're using multiple senses.
Mm-hmm.
Take the exact same cigar, take the band off, it ain't the same. It's not the same experience. That's the reason we don't do any kind of blind taste testing either.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but price matters.
Yes.
Brand matters. You know, you take a Honda and an Acura, and under the skin, it might be the same car. Who's having more fun? Well, I can't answer that, but I will tell you, they sell a lot of fucking Acuras.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing with, like, Lexus and Toyota. They might perform the same, but ain't the same car.
Right.
Right? And that's what you're experiencing as a cigar smoker. And so if we were to take the bands off, do a blind smoke. That's just a palate test, mm-hmm. right? But it doesn't tell you what's it like to actually smoke this cigar, right? And so artwork is important, mm-hmm. experience is important, and knowing what you're smoking is important because there is the connection between your brain, what your senses are taking in, and your total experience. So experience is definitely the most subjective of them. Mm-hmm. My takeaway on this cigar is get your hands on one if you're a cigar smoker and smoke it. Right? I don't know if this is going to be a daily for anybody. Mm-hmm. I think it could end up being a regular rotation, though.
Yeah, definitely.
And certainly worth trying once. So here's our homework for everybody out there. Go ahead and smoke one of each cigar AJ has ever blended. And then check back in with us. Let us know how it goes. That's going to be about 10 years from now,
yeah.
but we'll still be here. Yeah. So let us know. Try one of every AJ, any cigar AJ's had his fingers in. Mm-hmm. And smoke one a day, and 10 years from now, you'll get back with us. I think that's going to do it for this edition of Burn On Podcast.